to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, brother. We're here to talk about real issues that men face. We're all about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering hope and help to men. I'm Raul, leader of a growing men's ministry here in Northwest Washington called the Band of Brothers. Today I'm joined in the studio with Steve. Good to have you here this morning, brother.
Good morning, Raul. Great to be here.
All right. In a few minutes, we're going to tackle today's topic, which is we're sort of carrying on what we did from the last show that we were doing. And this is about healing relationships through forgiveness. Okay. But we like to start each show by answering one of your email questions. If you're struggling with a challenge and you feel like you could use some biblical advice, email us anonymously at help@bandofbrothersradio.com, and we'll do what we can to be able to get you at least pointed in the right direction. So, Steve, we've got one today.
Well, we do, Raul, and this brother writes, he starts with a couple of sentences that are personal to him that I'm not going to read in order to not identify who he is, but he then says, speaking of his marriage, there has been no physical or mental abuse, no infidelity or anything like that in our marriage. When my wife had our last child, she claimed she was falling out of love with me. I have tried to make her fall back in love with me, but she claims she doesn't love me or trust me. I've been asking our Lord to restore my marriage for almost a year. So my questions are, does or will God restore a marriage? If the answer is yes, then what am I doing wrong? Because nothing is getting better for us. My faith is starting to waver because it's not getting any better. I am really brokenhearted and need any help that I can get. So, what do you think?
Wow, I tell you, first, thank you for sending the email in. That requires an awful lot of courage and stepping out and trusting. And, you know, one of the things that first came to mind when you read this email, our brother here is all of a sudden, he's reaching out. He wants help. He truly loves to be married, it seems like. He wants to do something to make this thing work. One thing I do know is that when I've been blessed with five children, okay? And I know from the very first one that my life changed. Everything changed when that child was born, and the relationship changed with my wife. Everything changed, and that began an opportunity for me to be able to continue dialoguing and communicating with her, okay, which a lot of times, you know, I was young and dumb at that time, so to speak, and I did not do an awful lot of talking. I just actually expected things for her to do more than anything else. But that was, again, because of my own insecurities. I know this, to answer your first question, does God want to restore marriages? Absolutely. Absolutely, he does. I believe that Jesus told us that he wants us to love our wives as he loves the church, okay? And I that in itself means that that is a command that I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church, to be more like him. And so that means that I'm going to be willing to accept her just as she is, to love her despite her shortcomings and the challenges that she may have, and in turn, just know that, you know what, I have be willing to die for this person. Now, I don't mean just take a bullet. I mean be willing to say, you know what, even though I believe in my heart that I might be right in the situation, that I might to make everything work out and give it a little longevity to be able to deal with, I would say, you know what, this is probably where I need to back off a little bit here, you know?
Well, I agree, Raul, and definitely in terms of the first question, will God or does God want to restore a marriage? And the answer is absolutely. Mm-hmm. Of course he does. What I would say to this brother is that, and obviously we don't know all the details, right. and you've presented the love side of it and laying down your life for your spouse and so on, but this is something we hear with great frequency. Someone says, well, I'm falling out of love with this person, or I no longer love this person.
Right.
Obviously, they've had a child. There's been a significant change in their home life, their relational life. Who knows what's going on socially and vocationally? So there are a lot of factors. But this is what I would say to this man, that perhaps the most important thing you can do is determine in your heart that with or without your wife, you are going to serve God. That you are going to have a life either with her or without her, and in the center of your life is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that you are going to be a spirit-filled man, full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of faithfulness, all those things that are the fruit of the Spirit that result from following Christ, that you're going to... you're going to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. You're going to be gentle, but you're going to have a spiritual strength in your life that is steel right out of Scripture.
Right.
You're going to know who you are and what you're about. And then you can say to your wife, with you or without you, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve our children. But Jesus is my all in all. And I will say, there's something about moving towards spiritual and emotional health is probably has a spark of what that woman saw in him to begin with.
Right.
And it's time for men to stop being wishy-washy and mushy. And as one of my friends says, being Mr. Nice Guy, it's time to stand up and be a man of God. Have spiritual conviction, be firm, and know who you are, what you believe, why you believe it, and get moving in the right direction. I believe that's what every woman is looking for.
And, you know, I believe that men need other men to encourage them.
Absolutely.
That's exactly why we do what
Absolutely.
We're doing right here in this radio station.
Absolutely.
Because, or the men's ministries, you need other men to be able, you've got to let them know first and foremost what the challenges are. If I'm not willing to be transparent and trust that other men are going to look for my best interest at heart, okay, and to give me godly counsel or wise counsel or experience of their own that would guide me into toward the light, okay, then I'm going to be missing the boat otherwise.
And, absolutely. And more than ever, we need models of biblical, spirit-filled, Christ-centered manhood. We need men who love God to rise up and model this for other men, because we've got a generation of men who don't know what a strong
right.
man with spiritual conviction looks like, sounds like, or acts like.
You know, one of the things that I find with men, I'm going to say, that are beyond their adolescent years and they've already been married for a while, they may be in their 30s, they may be in their 40s, may very well be in latter years, okay, where they never have felt or done this before, okay? They still are of that nature that I don't have what it takes, and, you know, I don't want to go ask, because I know that for myself, I was a late-blooming Christian, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
that all of a sudden, it wasn't until my latter years when all of a sudden I had to almost humble myself listening to men who were younger than me and saying, man, these guys have been walking, boy, I tell you, this path mm-hmm. a lot better than I have been, okay? Mm-hmm. And they have some experiences. Not only that, they've got a connection with Jesus, and that's what I want. And when I humbled myself to go and ask them, it's amazing what took place, you know?
Absolutely. And I think at the core of this brother's question and what we're talking about here in terms of modeling manhood, in a marriage relationship, there never is a situation where he's absolutely right and she's absolutely wrong, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. We've all got our stuff, and we're going to spend a lifetime hammering it out.
Right.
But what we're talking about is a man who is broken in will, but he's mighty in spirit.
Yes.
He's strong. He has strength. He has direction. Mm-hmm. He has clarity about who he is, mm-hmm. and what it means to live for Jesus today. He knows mm-hmm. he's not perfect. Mm-hmm. He's out of his spiritual strength, he can be gentle.
Right.
He's not wishy-washy. He's not mousy. But out of his strength, he can be gentle, which is a whole different concept than what the current social system is pushing off on men.
Right.
I tell you, we need some men to stand up and declare their spiritual manhood and have the steel in their spirit to not be knocked off track every time the wind blows one way or another.
Right. And that's very attractive to our spouses, or maybe prospective, some of the young guys who are actually engaged to be married or are looking for a spouse. This is an attractiveness for a woman to be able to see a man who stands secure in everything that he does. And then when she goes to find out what that is or where that source is, it's about Jesus. That becomes very, very attractive to somebody.
Well, we're getting very close to a line here that's we're going to cross, and somebody's going to accuse us of being politically incorrect. But I want to tell you, if somebody is breaking into my house in the middle of the night, I am not going to roll over and say to my wife, honey, it's your turn to go and deal with them.
Right.
I'm going to deal with it.
Right.
Because I'm the man.
Yes.
And there's a parallel in the spirit. It's time for men to rise up and begin to deal with this spiritual darkness that's trying to invade our home and our relationships. It's time to be a man.
And part of being that man is seeking Jesus Christ. It's his power, it's his strength, it's his love that flows through us. We are just vessels, and that's all we have to do is get ourselves out of the way, because you know what? In seeking him, he will reveal more of himself to us, and we'll have that opportunity to be able to do that and share that with other men. But you're right, it's time that, yesterday was time, so we're behind, so we need to move forward on this sort of thing.
That's right.
When we come back from our break, we're going to get right into healing relationships through forgiveness, and maybe some of the lies and things, deceit that come toward us and that put us into a mode of procrastination, which is not necessarily a friend. So you're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back, brother, to Band of Brothers Radio. I've got Steve in the studio with me, and we're going to continue on down this path of really, truly, Steve and I were talking before the show. This is truly all about discipleship, about basic things that we as men and women, for that matter, as individuals, followers of Jesus Christ, ought to imply and partake and make a part of our lives in everything that we do. And having looked at our lives and the what it is that we have done, and especially in harming others, this is the other page, or moving forward into making reconciliation in those relationships. And these are things that are tough, because I know that for myself. Sometimes I did not want to necessarily have to move forward into asking for forgiveness from someone who may have very well have caused maybe more harm to me than I did to them. But it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about reconciling and being able to bring Jesus into the midst of something that will probably, that he will end up being glorified. Not probably, he will be glorified as a result of it. I've got to remember that the majority of my life in the past has had the enemy had me going on all so many different directions in creating havoc and challenges in my life. And all of a sudden I'm put in a position where I've seen what was taking place, and now I want to make it right. I want to be able to live with true joy in my heart. I want to be able to feel that peace that I see in others. And when I talk with them and they let me know how they live or how they had lived, all of a sudden I can relate with it and say, man, this is down a path I need to be heading. But it's not an easy one. It's a narrow one. It becomes very challenging sometimes. And as we head down this path into the light, okay, the enemy sits on the sidelines kind of waiting to see what he can do to throw those little grenades out and just kind of take us off track.
Well, that's exactly right, Raoul. And this is an important part of discipleship. A couple of points I want to make right here in our discussion. What we're talking about is going back to people that we have wounded or hurt and acknowledging our part, our side mm-hmm. of the problem. So we're not mm-hmm. focusing on them.
Right.
Now, this principle is in Scripture. Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in the tree and said, come down here, today salvation's come to your house. And Zacchaeus responded by talking about the people that he was going to pay back that he had wrongly dealt with previously. So he was going to make restitution, and we hear that term. It's very important that every Christian brother understand that you are saved by grace through faith.
Yes.
That Jesus was the atoning sacrifice. He has paid it all. You are adopted into the family of God. You are like the prodigal son. The Father has come out. He has embraced you. He's put sandals on your feet, the robe on your shoulders. I mean, you're back in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about this, we're not talking about earning your way into the kingdom. We're not talking about doing something that if you don't do it, God's going to turn his back on you, so to speak. But now that you are an adopted son, now that you are fully forgiven, now that you desire to live for God and be filled with the Spirit, then it's going to be a very natural thing, howbeit it challenges our old nature, to do the kinds of things that are expressions of God's love and God's kingdom. And basically, when we come to Christ, prior to that, we were selfish, self-centered. It was all about us.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've come to Jesus, we've been set free from that.
Yes.
It's no longer all about us. It's now all about the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I come to you, and God's will is that we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
God's will is that we be back in meaningful relationships mm-hmm. with one another. I mean, the kingdom is coming. One of these days, Jesus is going to return, and in his eternal kingdom, we're all going to get along. I mean, that's
right.
The premise. And what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, I don't want you to wait until then. He said, as members of my kingdom, I want you to start doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to experience the peace and the presence and the joy and the love which flows from the Holy Spirit into our hearts, it just makes sense that the Lord would direct us to go back to these people
mm-hmm.
and be reconciled
mm-hmm.
and make it right. So the thing that gets in our way at this point mm-hmm. is that pride raises its ugly head.
Oh, yes.
But the Scripture says if we humble ourselves, we'll get grace.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more we humble ourselves, the more grace we experience, the power and the desire to do God's will. And you know from your own experience, and I'm sure you could tell us many stories, that sense of the world lifting off of your shoulders, that weight that is gone, that knowing the next time you see that person at the end of the aisle in the grocery store, this time you don't have to duck around the other end and pretend like you didn't see them,
right,
because you know in your heart that you've cleared your conscience and you've taken steps to make it right with them.
Mm-hmm. And then the enemy, on the other hand, he sees us moving forward into making things right, so to speak, says, this is not going to come so easy here.
He wants to divide us.
That's it. He's going to throw everything he can so that fear would be the ultimate thing in front of me. That I sit there and go, wait a minute, what if they don't accept this? What if they throw me out of their office? What if? All of these things that I need to remember, that if I cast those onto Jesus, he will take these, okay? And his yoke is easy.
That's right. And what if they do, Raul? I mean, what if somebody says to you, I won't forgive you? You have no control over how that person is going to respond.
Exactly.
What if somebody says, Raul, get up and get out of my office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see you anymore.
Right.
You have no control over how that person is going to respond, but you do have the power to choose for yourself.
Absolutely.
And so you know in your heart of hearts that you've taken steps towards them. But frequently when somebody reacts in an adverse way, it's indicative that God's working on them.
Absolutely.
And that's what's important to see here, is it's not about us. And so as we start reaching out to people, and sometimes, you know, some of us have had to make very public confessions.
Mm-hmm.
Others have been very private.
Mm-hmm.
But in all of that, it's important for us to see it's not about us anymore.
Right.
It's about the glory of God and pointing people towards Jesus. And conviction is most often created in me when I see something in someone else that I know I should have in myself.
Right.
I'm going to say that again. That's right at the heart of the matter. Conviction is most often created in me when I see something in someone else that I know I should have.
Yes.
And so when I start seeing somebody, you know, just in love with God and going around saying, hey, forgive me, brother, forgive me, sister, forgive me, mom, forgive me, dad, forgive me, employer, I mean, whoever it is,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden I realize, man, they've got something I don't have.
Right.
And that convicts me and makes me want to have it also.
Right. And, you know, in my head, knowing that if I'm going to someone that I know knows Christ makes it sometimes a little easier, okay, than going to somebody who I know does not have a relationship with God. Okay, or for that matter, if in my case, some of my amends were financial amends that I had to make to a company, and how I thought to myself, I don't have to do this. I mean, every part of me, I try to convince the gentleman that was walking this path with me that I don't need to go there. I don't have to do this because they're multi-million dollars, and they don't care about the little squabbly bit that I had taken that I probably owe them. And yet, there's that part of me that knows that that's exactly what I need to do. But I was looking for any possible way of being able to put it off, and because I can't afford to. I shouldn't. They don't need it. It's not going to make a difference. They'll probably fire me. At the time when I made this one amends, I was still working for the company. And you know what he told me? The brother who was actually walking me through this, he says, you know what? You go get a cashier's check. You make it out to them, and you send it in an envelope with no return address. They'll take it, and they'll cash it, and then you'll be taken care of.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of different ways of being able. That's part of why we don't try to do this thing alone. That's why this walk in our relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus puts men in our lives for a purpose and a reason. And sometimes I think that he's made a mistake. This is not the right guy. But yet, it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to be very attuned to what it is that he's saying to me.
Absolutely. And it's important, particularly for, I mean, if you're a mature Christian, there are going to come moments in your life where you know you said the wrong thing, did the wrong thing. And you need to go, you know, you have the maturity to know, you need to go back to that person and say, I was wrong. I've asked God to forgive me. Would you forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting this as a journey, and it's very important that you have brothers around you to help you navigate, because you can get off track and get focused on the wrong thing. And you need brothers around you to hear your story, to have some sense of their own experience so that they can give you clear direction and help you stay on a path that is safe, spiritually healthy, and is going to bring blessing to others and glory to God. Because you can get focused in the wrong area. Again, as we so frequently say, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So we're really talking about the leadership of the Holy Spirit and how God works through other men to help a man reach his spiritual goals.
And it truly is about just being connected to him. The more often and the more often that I can be in his presence and seeking his counsel, not just during the time just prior to me doing this, throughout my day that I continue some sort of dialogue with the Lord. And I know that this is as simple as this. I had a brother tell me one time, he said, you just give thanks in all that you do and all that you say, and you'll be able to be in his presence at each and every moment. When we come back from our break, we're going to go ahead and we're going to delve into an arena that we've been talking about. But you know, when you have made, you know that there's an amends I need to make to this one individual. But that individual has caused me more harm than I probably caused them. How is it that we walk forward in doing something like this? You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Welcome back, brother. We are, Steve and I are in here in the studio today, and we are delving into reconciliation, asking for forgiveness. And, you know, Steve, one of the things that I always want to bring up, because it was something that was very challenging for me, and I have a list in front of me of people that I am willing to make amends to, and yet there are some that I sit there and I kind of bypass, hoping that I could really put it off until after I die, so to speak, you know.
Sure.
There is that part where some of these, that there was such resentment that I've held for the harm that they caused me. I caused them harm, and I know that. But yet, I justified my actions and the deeds that I did because I felt it was necessary.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
What do you think? Can we give some? I know there's gotta be some brothers out there kind of going through the same thing. I'm not that unique.
No. This is everybody's story. But the question is, you know, where does the cycle end? So I wound you, and because I wound you, you wound me back.
Mm-hmm.
And because you wound me back, I wound you again.
Mm-hmm.
And those wounds go deeper and deeper and deeper until you become a hurting person and I become a hurting person. Well, guess what? Hurting people hurt other people.
Right.
So I've wounded you, you've wounded me. You could be my father, I could be your son, we could be brothers, we could be co-workers, we could be Christian workers. I mean, these relationships, So, but all of a sudden, these wounds go deep into our soul. I become a hurting person. You become a hurting person. Maybe it happens in childhood. Maybe it happens in our teen years and our adult years. We turn around, and so we start hurting other people, and they start hurting us, mm-hmm. and the cycle just keeps going and going and going. And at some point, we come to Christ, and God the Father says, before you loved me, I loved you and sent my Son to be the atoning sacrifice for your sins. I didn't love you because you loved me. I loved you because I chose to love you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's what the scripture says. Mm-hmm. And so by grace, through faith, we accept what God has done for us through the sacrificial, atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. His resurrection proves that we have newness of life and eternal life, and now the Holy Spirit has come and lives in our heart in fullness, and we know that we are children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. And we certainly agree with that. We want the kingdom yes. of God to come in its fullness. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. I certainly can pray that with great enthusiasm. Lord, supply my needs today.
Yes.
But then he goes on to say, forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Now, all that, this becomes problematic.
Right.
Because I do want forgiveness from God, and I know that I'm going to stumble and fall, and I'm going to keep coming back to him. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins,
right.
cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that part of my relationship with God, that there isn't anything past, present, or future that can separate me from his love.
Mm-hmm.
That thrills me. But uh-oh, you mean Jesus is saying that he wants me to forgive those who have sinned against me?
Mm.
So now I realize that I've hurt you and wounded you. And how many times have we said or heard someone else say, well, I'll forgive them when they forgive me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't happen.
Right, right.
So, but as a man, being mentored and coached by other men who've been down this pathway before, mm-hmm. they're helping me understand, Steve, it's time for you to go to Raul.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on what Raul did to you, because that's Raul's stuff. That's mm-hmm. not your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you've already decided what you've did to Raul, and you just go and clear your conscience and say, brother, I was wrong. I've asked God to forgive me. Would you forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done that, you've humbled yourself.
Right.
And that's all that God is asking.
Right.
The rest is completely in his hands. But what if, and this has been our experience, most often you go to somebody and say, brother, would you forgive me? Guess what the brother says? I forgive you, and would you forgive me?
Yes.
And there's reconciliation, and something happens in the spiritual realm. The place of agreement is the place of power.
Mm-hmm.
God's calling us into unity. He's calling us mm-hmm. into community. And every time there is reconciliation, that is an expression of the kingdom of God has come.
Yes, yes. One of the things when we go to make amends, and we'll talk about this in the next show here, when you actually go and make the amends, not to go with expectation other than the simple fact that if I have asked the Holy Spirit to be with me, that he's going to be there.
Yes.
And that his will be done as a result of whatever takes place there. I am there not thinking and anticipating that if I come to you and say, forgive me, brother, that you are going to say that to me. If I go there with that expectation, I may walk away disappointed and thinking that God is not part of my life. So
right.
we don't want to go there that way. I just want to remind some brothers too, or whoever's listening, in going and forgiving someone who has caused harm to me does not necessarily mean that I condone what had taken place. It doesn't mean that I agree that it was okay. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you can continue to beat me up this way or whatever it is that they had done, that I open the door for that to come back again. That is not the spirit that it comes in. You want to know that God loves them as much as he loves you and me. You know, and that is part of what reconciliation takes, what takes place as a result of that miracle. Because it truly is a miracle. It changes hearts and minds. And it gets not only us on the right track, but it brings that light into darkness in their life. And what happens when we bring light into darkness? The darkness flees. It can't coexist.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think back, I mean, this issue of pride, I think about division in families, division in churches, people with private, self-seeking, manipulative agendas. They want to control the other person, or they want to control the group. All of that is rooted in pride.
Mm-hmm.
But spiritual health, Raul, I am absolutely convinced, begins with brokenness and humility and transparency.
Yes.
Now, there are parts of our story that in most cases are not to be shared with everyone.
Right.
But until you and I come to grips with our own personal story, we're never going to know who we are and what God wants to accomplish in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that story is recognizing, because we want to talk about where we've been hurt and where we've been wounded, and God turns it around and says, listen, the pathway to healing is just the opposite. As long as you stay focused on where you've been hurt and where you've been wounded and what other people have done for you, you know what? You are never going to be spiritually whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause that is not the arena God works in.
Right.
Now, would be the human approach, and we could talk about that at length. However, God turns it around and says, you want to get healed? Go and restore the people that you've wounded. You want to get free from this sin? Go to the people that you've damaged because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Humble yourself, and I will lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the tax collector and the religious man that were praying in the temple.
Right.
And the religious guys just, I'm so good. You know, I give my tithes, I fast. I mean, he was, you know, and the poor broken guy off to the side, pounding his chest, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, because I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, guess what, guys? which one of these dudes
yes.
do you think had it together spiritually?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which one would you want in your church? Which one of these guys would you want to be walking with?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, this guy over here, because he humbled himself.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's what's pleasing to God. And into that guy's life, God is going to pour a kind of spiritual strength for which there absolutely is no substitute.
Amen. When we come back from our break, we're going to encourage you a little more on heading down this path. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back, brother. I've got Steve in the studio, and we have been heading down this path, and it's like a battlefield. It really is. We're heading down. We're talking about things that of having to take care of business, man. There's a, a bunker ahead of us, and put it in a military-type form ahead of us that we need to get to and to be able to destroy so that we can have more freedom and more flexibility to move forward into the path that he wants us to take. But I tell you what, there are grenades falling and all over the place. There's fire that's coming through. You know, you just see it all happening, especially when we're seeking to make things right and reconciliation through past and sometimes in some cases present relationships. But you know what? We need to, that's where we need the fellowship of other brothers to be able to encourage us, to let us know that we are not forgotten, we are not lost, and that I'm not left in that foxhole all by myself, okay? And that there are others who will be willing to jump in that foxhole with you to help secure that feeling that you may have of abandonment. You are not alone. You are not alone. I believe that sometimes that Jesus puts men in my life because I need to feel that Jesus in the flesh, with that handshake or with that hug that another brother can only give, okay, of knowing that, hey, they understand. The only way I know of being able to find that out is by reaching and seeking out to other brothers and letting them know the challenges that I face. And you know what? If you're not so sure exactly who that might be, I know one thing that's assured, that if you take time in prayer and in listening prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to who that individual is, he will let you know. He'll prompt you, or just be attuned to the people that come into your life that day or that week. Brother, you got anything you want to add on to this?
Well, I think as we kind of move towards the finish line today, that it would be wise to just redefine where we're at in this journey. So this initially began when we determined we got a problem that was way bigger than we were, and we were never going to be able to solve it, mm-hmm. and that we really did believe that Jesus came to set us free. And so we turned our lives over to him, over to his care, over to his direction, thanking him for his forgiveness, and we became children of God. Now, in terms of restoring our spiritual health, we made a list. We call it what you want, a spiritual inventory. We cataloged the areas of our brokenness and our failure, and particularly our habitual patterns of drifting off into darkness that brought continual destruction into our lives. Mm-hmm. And we asked God to forgive us, and we asked him to take these things out of our lives, and we surrendered them. Mm-hmm. And he's faithful to do that as we continue to grow in spiritual strength. Mm-hmm. But now we realize that with gratefulness, I mean gratefulness that goes beyond words can describe, how grateful we are that Jesus has cleansed us and set us free. Mm-hmm. And now out of that just overflow of gratefulness, we want to do God's will. We, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be tempted today. Of course I am. I'm living in a real world, and I'm still made out of the same stuff. But my heart, my spirit is on fire for God. Mm-hmm. And now, but I realize, you know what? I've not only been hurt, but I've hurt a lot of people along the way. And now that I'm reconciled with God, God's telling me, be reconciled with the people that he's placed around my life. Right. So we're just talking about discipleship, Raul.
Right.
We're talking about manning up.
Mm-hmm.
Stop wimping out and blaming everybody else for what's wrong with your life. We're talking about, we're through being victims. This is, I'm going to take responsibility for what I've done and for what I do. And for I'm taking responsibility for what I'm going to do mm-hmm. through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So we come to this moment, and as you and I were talking during the break, we really don't need anybody to tell us the people we need to go back to. You know that. You know the moment this subject comes up, who's the next person on your list.
Mm-hmm. And when in doing so, that's where we end up realizing that, okay, I'm heading down this path that I know will actually, that I will maybe feel that joy that I've seen in other people's eyes, that peace that I see men walk with amongst all the stuff that's going on in their life. I sit there and go, I want that. I
yes.
want that. And that this is all part of it, brother. This is part of why we just continue on moving forward into down this path despite the snipers that are in the trees and those who are throwing the grenades and those that are shooting artillery at us, amongst all of that, we know that we have a power that's actually taking care of us, okay? You know, I love the fact that I can know that my Lord is actually, if I dwell in His presence, that He's going to take care of me, He's going to make sure that I'm covered, my family's going to be covered, and that He's going to empower me with His strength as I humble myself to Him. Because that's truly what it's about. And Steve, every part of me just says, no, you don't need to go there. You need to just pull up your bootstraps and just move forward and keep going. No, I think I need to take care of business first. Then I can release that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're on a path of freedom. And freedom is a wonderful experience. And it's the freedom to do the very next thing that God's called me to do.
Absolutely. And we know that the Word of God is truth, and the truth will set you free. Brother, we thank you for taking some time and spending it with us and giving us the opportunity to be able to share the Word of the Lord with you. I will tell you this, is that tomorrow we'll be actually, you want to tune in because we got How to Win in the Battlefield of the Mind. We know there is a battlefield that takes place up there. It's all about that. But, brother, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. There is hope, and you are not alone.